This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat by the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And again, welcome to the Living Water Church. We are doing the service completely backwards today. And so it'll just be a little bit different. And that's cool. And so this week we're considering how changing habits can be uncomfortable at first. It just feels different when we try to do things different. And it can create a little bit of anxiety in us. It can create a little bit of stress. It can just make it seem different. And so today we, starting with the sermons, the children's message and the main sermon, and just to be able to kind of get a sense of how when we do things different, it just feels a little bit weird. And so we're talking about creatures of habit. And today is the third week of our sermon, and we've been talking about how every person is largely made up of the choices that we make, the routines that we develop each and every day. And these habits that we choose determine the trajectory of our life and who we're going to become. And the question is then, is are we becoming the person that we want to become? Are we heading in the direction that we're hoping to be heading in? The first week, we learned that developing a habit of reading and meditating on God's Word can protect us from internalizing negative thoughts, whether those negative thoughts come from our past or from ourselves or from the world. And so when we spend time in God's Word, God can renew our mind and it can replace those thoughts. Rather than listening to poison, we can listen to the promises of God. Last week, we confronted the habit of always wanting more and more. The healthier habit for our lives is choosing to put God's kingdom first and choosing to live a simpler life. And by doing this, we can discover contentment and fulfillment in God alone and the things that God provides, instead of always striving for more than what we have. And then this week, we will be encouraged by Scripture to choose a habit of worship rather than a habit of worry. And so we're going to respond to the sermon this week by worshiping together. And so one of the worst habits, as we think about habits and things that we kind of fall into, in my opinion, one of the worst that people will fall into has to do with things with your fingers. Like when I was a kid, somehow I developed the habit of biting my fingernails. And you would think that with all the stuff that's under a person's fingernail, that would have been plenty to have deterred me from that. But it was a tough habit for me to break at some point. Or how about this? Did any of your kids have a habit of sucking their thumb? You know, my daughter, when she was young, she didn't like the pacifier. She preferred her thumb, as much as we tried to avoid that from happening. And, you know, and it was kind of cute when she was a baby. She had her special pink fluffy blanket that we had to replace regularly because she kept pulling all the fuzzies out of it. Of course, we did that without her knowing it. But then, you know, after she's 3 or 4 years old, that habit wasn't so cute, and we tried to break that habit. And she agreed, even at that young age, this is something that I probably should stop. It's not good for my teeth and all that other things. And we tried everything to break her of that habit. We tried putting stuff on her thumbs so it tasted bitter. We tried using a mitten that had just the thumb in it and the fingers cut out before she went to bed. You know, she'd just pull it off. You know, we tried shame. We tried prayer. We tried encouragement. We tried just about everything to break her out of that habit. But nothing worked. In fact, it wasn't until she was about 12 years old that she was finally able to break that habit of just before going to bed and sucking that thumb. She tried years to do it. Some habits can be really hard to break. And then there are some habits that we develop that are just really bad for us. They damage us, our families, our future. Yet for some reason, we continue to participate in them. Whether it's believing negative things about ourselves, or it's exerting energy to collect more and more stuff, or it's getting stuck in a pattern of negative talk, or it's getting trapped just in lustful things, whatever it might be, we've got to pay attention to these habits in our lives that harm us. You know, I heard it said that a comfy bed, it's so easy to get into, but it can be hard to get out of. And bad habits are like that comfy bed. I think it pretty much sums up the challenge that bad habits offer us. And so the Bible offers us this story that we just heard about two women that approach life in two different ways. It takes place when Jesus comes to visit their home. And so Angie read that passage for us in chapter 10. And these two sisters, Mary and Martha, they've graciously opened their home to Jesus as he's passing through town. Now, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, brothers and sisters, have been friends of Jesus most likely probably since they were kids. And so surely by this point in the book of Luke, Jesus' name would have become so well known. His fame would have just been preceded him. And after many just healings and teachings that he was performing, it would have been a really big deal to have Jesus visit their house. It just would have become a big deal that he would have shown up. And so right away, we find in this passage different responses to Jesus' visit. And their responses become the focal point of this passage. Mary takes a seat at Jesus' feet. This was the posture of a student to a teacher. It was an expression of reverence and worship. Martha, however, is being busy doing other things. She's distracted. The passage says by making preparations for Jesus' visit. She's worried and she's anxious about the food being ready and the house being clean and anything else that might have been out of order. And really, it is understandable. After all, it wasn't just Jesus who was visiting. It would have also been Jesus' inner circle of disciples. And she couldn't just call up Grubhub to have Taco Bell delivered. You know, she couldn't even go out to the grocery store. If dinner was going to be served, someone had to do the work of cooking it. Martha had a lot on her plate, so she thought. A good host does not make her guests go hungry. But here's the thing. All that activity that she was doing had created a bunch of stress in Martha as she scurried around. And stress is the great revealer of what's inside a person. Have you noticed that? It's in stress happens that we say the thing we wish we hadn't said, or we did the thing we wish we hadn't done. And we're really getting a glimpse into the personality and the personal habits of each of these women. More than likely, this is Mary and Martha's mode of operation in life. The story puts on display two different habits that many of us have in our lives. For, they are most often revealed during these times of stress, during these times of difficulty and challenge, when these habits kind of expose themselves for what our mode of operation is. For Mary and Martha, the present situation was this visit of the Messiah, a big deal for them. But in our lives, it's things like a diagnosis of cancer, or maybe a sudden job loss, a tragedy, or a relational conflict. And some of us, like Mary, we've made a habit of worship. And others, like Martha, have made a habit of too much activity and worry. And the difference between these two routines tends to be what we allow ourselves to focus on. So thinking about what we allow ourselves to focus on In the world of extreme sports, there's a popular method of skiing referred to as tree skiing. Ever heard of it? It's hard to believe that this is a thing, but it is. Tree skiing may sound like a death wish, but some skiers love the risk of skiing brand new, fresh powder, laying in a stand of aspen or spruce trees. The key, of course, is not hitting the trees. And so in Outside Magazine, writer and skier Tim Eccles lays out the challenge. He writes, even more so than in deep snow or moguls, what you focus your eyes on becomes critical in the woods. Look at the spaces between the trees, the exits where you hope to be traveling. Or as extreme skiing world champion Kim Reichel states rather matter-of-factly, don't stare at the thing you don't want to hit. Now, worry as a habit is an act of focusing on the trees of life. It's staring at the things you don't want to hit. Now, there are some people I've come across that are just looking for something to be worried about because they just don't know how to exist without it. They don't know how to talk without talking about what they're worried about. Worry is a habit that reveals who or what we've placed our trust in. Martha was focused on the trees rather than the hope that was sitting right in her home. Worry as a habit then is focusing on the trees of life. Worship as a habit is an act of focusing on where our hope comes from, focusing on Jesus. Mary understood the opportunity that was before her on that day, in that moment. Rather than getting worked up and anxious by these distractions, she allowed herself to center on simply being in the presence of Jesus. In all the choices of life that we're given, there's usually one thing that's most important in that moment. As we think about these choices, as we think about circumstances, if we can discern it, there's always one thing that's most important. And if you were to take all the moments of our life and all the choices we have to face over a lifetime, the one choice that should stand out amongst all the choices we have made should be the choice to worship God. Because see, worship is the one thing that is most important always. One of the greatest habits we can cultivate in our lives is a routine of worship, not just Sundays, but every day. Whether it's listening to music in your car or sitting silently in nature, or creating art on a canvas, worship takes place when Jesus receives our time, attention, energy, and affection. Making a habit of doing these kind of activities allows us to navigate the roller coasters of life because it just gets us in this mode of being in Jesus' presence instead of focusing on those challenges. So with this in mind, Martha comes to speak to Jesus about the way Mary had responded to his visit. Again, reading Luke 10, verses 40 to 42, it says, she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? You ever said that statement to your parents? Can you remember? Any of those who had brothers and sisters? Does it seem fair that I'm doing everything and they're watching TV? I'm pretty sure I said that more than once. Yep, I can think of it. So, this says, tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Martha, she was convinced that Mary was in the wrong here. She should have joined Martha in her busyness and doing what was right in Martha's eyes. Martha thought she was being the responsible one. She was being the good host. She was caring for the needs of her guests. She was doing what she was supposed to be doing according to the rules of culture. And in Martha's eyes, Mary was being lazy and irresponsible. You could even say that Mary was being unloving and rude to her guests, depending upon your perspective. You see, Martha believed that trying to make things right on her own was the correct thing to do here, so much so that she pleaded with Jesus, And sure as he's in the middle of teaching the people in her room, she pleaded with Jesus, interrupted him to tell Mary to quit sitting around and to get to work. But Jesus doesn't do that. Rather, he points out to the unhealthy habits that Martha was displaying. I can only imagine how hard that would have been for her to hear it. He tells her not to be worried about all the things that's going on around her. In fact, he says there's really only one thing to worry about right now. And her sister had it right. Mary had chosen worship. You see, there are many of us in the church today that busy themselves with all kinds of things, many of them very good things. We serve in multiple ministries, we take care of our families, we work hard at our jobs, coach the little league team, we're involved in civic responsibilities, we give time to our favorite pastimes and passions and interests. We're a busy, anxious, distracted culture. And like Martha, it just has become our mode of operation. It's just who we are. But I want you to hear what Jesus is saying in this passage. He is saying that sitting at Jesus' feet is the one thing. It is the thing of utmost importance. It is the essence of what we're created for. Turning our attention to Him should be our first response and not our last resort. It should be the first thing we put on our calendar each and every week, not when we can just fit him into our schedule if there's nothing more fun or more pressing or more important things for us to do. Pastor and author Jim Cimbala said it this way. He writes, if our churches don't pray, and if people don't have an appetite for God, what does it matter how many are attending the services? How would that impress God? Can you imagine the angel saying, oh, your pews, we can't believe how beautiful they are. Up here in heaven, we've been talking about them for years. And your sanctuary lighting, it's so clever, the way that the steps come up to the pulpit, it's wonderful. I don't think so. If we want to experience God's closeness here on earth, if we don't want to experience God's closeness here on earth, why would we want to go to heaven anyway? He is the center of everything there. A habit of worship is the conclusion that Jesus is the center of everything in our lives. He will receive our attention when things aren't going as planned. He will receive our thanks when blessings come. Rather than allow our hearts to become full of worry and anxiety, we will intentionally choose to trust in Him. These are the things that happen when Jesus is at the center. So stress is the great revealer of what's inside a person. And worship is the one thing that is most important. And as we focus on intentional worship of God, we find that nothing compares to being in the presence of Jesus. Have you discerned and discovered this truth yet in your life? The incredible, life-changing, spirit-renewing, rejuvenating presence of Jesus. The power of it. I mean, I love going to worship concerts with thousands of other believers because the presence of Jesus is so powerful in those concerts. I love going to the stadium-filled conferences and crusades because the presence of Jesus is felt so powerfully there. I love going to concerts of prayer and charismatic revival services because the presence of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit is so evident. I love going out into the woods and just walk in the woods alone because the presence of God is there. I love going to the ocean and experiencing the rhythmic of the waves because I sense the power of the presence of Jesus there. I love coming to worship services here with my church family because the presence of Jesus is right here. Have you experienced that yet? Or do you just passively come and leave and not be changed at all? Because see, when you experience Jesus' presence, it changes everything. There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope, your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest love with my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Nothing compares to the presence of Jesus and just being in that presence, whether it's by yourself out in the woods or surrounded by thousands of believers. The Apostle Paul teaches about the habit of worship in several places in the New Testament. One of those was when he was writing to the church in Philippi. And he longs to see them leave behind their habits of worry and just take up a routine of worship. And he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, don't worry about anything. That's a hard statement right there. Pray about everything. That's the antidote. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, his presence, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. No, we find ourselves overwhelmed with things to do, decisions we don't know how to make, and situations that are completely out of our control. It is so easy for us to become filled with anxiety. And Paul says, rather than giving into those emotions of anxiety and worry, instead, sit at the feet of Jesus and let him know your requests. Let him know what's going on. Be very vivid in your details of what you're dealing with. Lay it out to him. And though this may seem like a way to just put off the inevitable, some form of procrastination, or maybe it might seem like you're wasting precious time when you should be trying to figure out how you're going to solve your problems on your own. That's what we think. Instead, if we could create a groove in our lives of going to Jesus first, if we can create a habit of waiting on God in prayer and worship, we can then remain in an atmosphere of peace even when we're in the midst of the worst storms of life. But instead, we tend to become so fixated on everything else rather than Jesus. So much so that we end up losing our peace in the process, and our hearts get filled with anxiety. Joni Erickson Tada, I'm sure you've probably heard of her. She had a terrible accident that left her quadriplegic. And in spite of her physical limitations, she became an accomplished speaker, author, and artist. And over 30 years ago, she married her husband, Ken. And for her wedding, she had planned to come down the center aisle in her motorized wheelchair. And just before her grand entrance, she noticed two distressing problems. First, she had rolled over her beautiful gown and made a big grease spot and a tear in it. And then she saw the flowers in her lap had slipped and had lodged between her leg and the chair. And in that moment, she felt like just filled with disappointment. And then suddenly, the doors of the auditorium opened, and she saw her husband-to-be. Here was the man who was committing his love and life to her, and Joni later said, once I saw Ken's face, all I could think of was him. Everything else, the people in the church, the flowers that were sitting a little askew on my lap, the fact that my dress didn't fall right because I was sitting in a wheelchair, the grease marks, the rip in my gown, all of it paled in comparison to seeing him. As creatures of habit, we must intentionally steer away our inclination to worry about all these aspects of our life. And instead, we've got to make a conscious effort to cultivate a life of worship. So let's just consider some ways that maybe you can do that, and just ways that we can sit in Jesus' presence. One of the easiest ways is this: as you drive in your car, make the decision to only play Christian music as a way of focusing on Jesus. We are blessed by some great music stations in our area. We used to live in a place where you were lucky to get one station. We have several stations here. In your message notes, I made a list of FM and AM radio stations you can choose from in our area. Now, the AM stations are a little hard to get into your car depending upon your antenna, but the FM stations come in great. And as hard as this is to hear, I really don't understand why believers in Jesus Christ choose to fill their minds with the world's thought system through secular music. I really don't understand it. And I know that there are a lot of people who do, because that's just what you do. It's the habit that's created. But believe it or not, if you like country music, there are Christian artists that sing in that style. If you like folk or adult contemporary music, there are Christian groups that play those styles. If you like alternative music, yep, there are Christian groups. Do you like rock? Yes, there are Christian groups that play that style. Do you prefer rap or screamo or heavy metal? Believe it or not, yep, there are Christian groups that play those styles as well. Why fill your mind with junk words about sinful thoughts and actions when you can choose to worship instead? When you're struggling with a temptation, you wonder, why am I struggling with this temptation? Could it be because you put those words in your head every day through the music you're listening to? Fill your mind with God's word. It's right there on the radio station. Here's another suggestion. I could go on that forever, and then I'm just kind of meddling, aren't I? But here's another one. Just as a baby step number one, schedule a minimum of 10 minutes a day to pray and read God's word. That's a first step. But get it into your calendar if that's not a habit that you have yet. And I talk about this a lot, but I know how hard it is to start that habit and how hard it is to keep it going because we're so busy. But put it in your calendar each day. Treat that appointment with God like you would treat an appointment with a doctor when you are dealing with cancer, and your life depends upon what that appointment ends up coming out as. Here's another idea. Keep a prayer journal of the prayers and blessings that turn your heart towards God, and date each page because it is a blessing to go back and read those things. Or how about this? Share with somebody today what God has been teaching you and ways that you've been growing or new ways that you've been experiencing God's presence in your life. Have a God conversation with somebody. Jesus will show up there in powerful ways if you do it. Worship is a habit that can transform our lives. The more we focus on Jesus, the easier worship becomes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to get conformed to the patterns of this world. They are all around us. Our friends, the media, the advertisements that's constantly bombarding us, television and movies and music. It's just everywhere, in every corner. Technology has allowed the world to just surround us. Would you help us to start breaking some of these habits that are hurting us instead of strengthening us, that are making us weaker instead of growing us in our faith? Help us to make some new routines in our life, whether it's changing the voices that we're listening to or the music we're listening to or where we're getting our news from or whatever it might be. Father, help us to create habits that help us get closer to you instead of pulling us away. And may we just be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying in this moment. God, if you have pinpointed something that we need to work on, would you help us to see it? Help us to hear it. Take the blinders off so we can understand it. Our habits There's so much a part of who we are. Would you help us to distinguish that? And may we choose time with you regularly. May it just become a heart cry for us that we choose to be in your presence each day, different ways, growing closer to you, being filled with you, giving us the strength to walk out this walk you've called us to in a world that's going the opposite direction. May it become our heartbeat to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.